Good morning. Thank you all for coming. So I'm going to talk a little bit about nutsy boltsy types of things. About, you know, I came into this naive and green as grass, and have learned a lot of, I hope, useful lessons. Some of them the easy way, but most of them not. So talking a little bit about how, why, and what. And I have no relationships to disclose. Why? Ultimately, our purpose is to communicate information that legislators can use in their deliberations so that the decisions at least have the opportunity to be evidence-based. The thing that's hard for scientists who are passionate about our work and passionate about health is we must always remember that these decisions are made by others. We're not the deciders. Right? They're made by families, communities, legislators. We're not the elected officials. And we also, I think it's also always important to acknowledge one's agenda. I keep telling these guys, you know, science is pure. It's not left, it's not right. That doesn't mean that we don't have an agenda. We do have an agenda, and we have to acknowledge that agenda. So what we're really talking about here is effective risk communication, and this is a tough nut. People in this society, in our society, and other societies, humans just don't appreciate risk. How many times have you heard someone say, oh, I don't want to fly, I'll drive, because they feel safer in a car, when all of the statistics tell us that overwhelmingly that is not the safest way to travel. My favorite story about this, which I'll tell very, very quickly, do y'all remember the Barcelona Olympics? It was like 1980. And the first time that America got a big dream team. They were all NBA players to go play basketball at the Olympics. And so these basketball players took ground transportation to their international airports. They flew halfway across the world. They got to Barcelona. They took ground transportation in Barcelona, and then some of them refused to play basketball with Magic Johnson because it was HIV positive. These are people that are not assessing risk well, right? So this is a really common issue, and this is what we have to overcome, is the inability to really understand how risk should and can and must be assessed. How? So different audiences, this is not news, but different audiences are best served by different approaches. I always ask people or suggest or try myself to incorporate the principles of community-based participatory research where there's mutual respect, listening, and those kinds of approaches. Even if someone makes you angry, you just say, okay, what's your side? What's this person's point of view? And you try to incorporate and at least understand it. When you're talking about science, the use of clear language is really important. People think that scientists talk in ways and think in ways that they don't understand. What's really important is that scientists are just people too, right? We have families, we care about drinking water, we care about the health of our communities, we care about the health of others. And we're human beings just like everybody else. We don't operate on a different plane. Have the same concerns as everybody else does. Challenges. So language, jargon, and complexity. You know, one doesn't want to say and leave people saying, what the heck was that person talking about? I don't understand what they said. So really limiting the use of jargon. Context, placing things in context. Sometimes that's something that scientists don't do very well, is how does this relate to the topic at hand? A real challenge is what I call the madness of the scientific method. This gets down to science not being left and science not being right. Science actually, when done properly, not being political at all. The facts is the facts. And what I think is very hard for people to understand is that we spend an awful lot of time trying to disprove our own hypothesis. We work at it really hard, and if we can't disprove our own hypothesis, then we say, well, the data support the hypothesis. But it's frustrating because people say, and they're right, you guys never prove anything. And unfortunately, that's the way the scientific method works. And time. Legislators have very limited time. So some nuts and bolts again types of things. Simplify. I have graduate students that don't know what twofold means. So it's better to say twice as much because everybody understands that. Explain a 30% change. That means 3 out of 10 or 30 out of 100. Statistical significance does not mean importance. I spend a lot of time teaching my graduate students that. Just because something's statistically significant doesn't mean that it's important. And there's a difference between the two. And the other thing is epidemiologic studies are correlative, not mechanistic, which means they provide no information about an individual. They talk about populations. There's good graphs and bad graphs. The good ones, you can tell which ones they are. They're the ones that you can easily look at a glance and understand. And then there's ones that I can't understand. So you want to use the ones that are simple. Pie charts are great. People understand pieces of pie. I understand those exceptionally well. So as our other speakers, David and Doug, have mentioned, in collaboration and with the great generosity and kindness of the National Conference for State Legislatures, they allowed us a pre-conference session, and we had a really lovely time. There's several people from the audience that were there. Gretchen Onstadt was one of our speakers, and she was marvelous, truly marvelous. And we had three major sessions: environmental justice, hydraulic fracturing, water and health, and then we had a box lunch with topical breakouts, some areas of interest for various people. And it was really, I was surprised, at 7:30 in the morning we had 32 people in the audience who could have knocked me down with a feather, which is saying something. That's actually saying something. As the day went on, the audience, of course, got bigger because people got up and got awake, or maybe they were more interested in the later topics. But I was pretty impressed that we had that many people in the room at 7:30 in the morning, because I hardly ever go anywhere at 7:30 in the morning. So I thought it might be useful for you all to see the formative evaluation results. Now, we all know that formative evaluation results are useful and important, but they should not be overinterpreted. This is the result of 23 respondents, okay? So it's not a huge number. We're going to be following up on these. I'm very aware of the liabilities of overinterpreting formative data, but I thought you might find these interesting. So the majority of folks learned about the workshop from an invitation from Doug, which we are very grateful for. And then we asked a series of questions on level of agreement. This is fairly typical approaches to formative evaluation using a Likert scale. And there's a lot of literature on using these kinds of formative evaluations in this kind of a scale. I feel that the conference was valuable and worthwhile. 74% agreed, 17% strongly agreed, and 9% were neutral. And from someone who has been doing formative and summative assessments of various audiences for a long time, a lot of times K-12 teachers, we do a lot of K-12 work, this is about as good as it gets. This is a ringing endorsement. This is really, really great data. I learned new information about environmental justice, fracking, water quality that will assist me in future policy. Again, 74% agree, 17% strongly agree, and 9% are neutral. And that is an amazing result. We were very gratified to see that result. And we will, as I said, be following up on this to get more and deeper amounts of information. I feel that the short presentations by panel speakers included useful and relevant information. 78% agree, 13% strongly agree, 9% neutral. As a result of participating, I am more likely to seek out scientific expertise concerning environmental issues. 56% agree, 17% strongly agree, 17% neutral, and 4% disagree. Again, this is sort of the nut. Are we accomplishing what we wanted to accomplish? Are we making legislators aware of the scientific expertise that is available to them and making it more accessible? And I feel like we are. The length of the workshop, 91% said right length, and we had equal amounts saying either too short or too long, so just right. What environmental topics will your legislature likely be considering? So there was I thought this might be of interest to you. Everything from health disparities, injection wells, getting resources and studies to communities. affordable phosphorus removal and alternatives. Somebody has something very specific that they're going to be dealing with. Clean energy, fracking again, and EJ issues in disadvantaged communities. Are you interested in getting more scientific information about these topics? Yes, please, 75%. 25% said no thanks. Now, this was interesting. If yes, please know the best ways to communicate with you. 71% said by email. So I don't take that as an indication that they're not interested in these workshops, but just that they want them in regulated doses. I don't think they're looking for a workshop a day. And then they would prefer that the follow-up be something that they can really easily access, like an email. A few folks felt like a website might work. Some folks felt like a newsletter, but the overwhelming response was email. And then some suggestions, and I thought this was people who took the time to actually sit and write something. And that, so I always pay attention to those because it means that somebody feels fairly strongly about it. So shorter speeches, more input from the audience. Okay. More focused topics, more on water. The scientific information was familiar. Need political and technical solutions. And this, I think, for me, was sort of the take-home message. That the science, they are more familiar with some of the scientific aspects than I thought. And what they're really looking for is how science can be utilized to work towards solutions. So I think the take-home message for me in all of this, what I learned from this experience, was that these legislators, they're interested in the science, and I think the scientists have to be concerned about making sure that they translate it correctly. I'll never forget when there was a dioxin contamination of a large drinking water supply. I forget where it was. This is a long time ago. And once somebody came out and said, well, dioxin's not very toxic. So we don't really have to worry about it. Okay, dioxin is the second most toxic substance that we know. Okay, and so we can talk about dilution and we can talk about concentration and we can talk about all those kinds of things. But scientists can't let somebody say, well, we don't really have to worry about this because dioxin's not very toxic. So there's a role for science in making sure that the evidence is presented and that it's fact-based and evidence-based. But I think what legislatures are largely wanting as well is a translation of that information into usable solutions. And I want to thank you for your attention. And I'm going to introduce, right? Oh, question? Yes, ma'am.
Thanks, Robin. I was just curious of what the party breakdown of the responses.
Oh, golly. I don't know the answer to that, and I didn't ask. Boy, that's a very interesting, boy, oh boy. I missed that one. Thank you for mentioning that.
NCSL, we strive on do not say which party you are, so that always is an issue there. But working with the Ag Task Force basically guaranteed us a good Republican overview, responded from there. Fracking, that is a big bipartisan. We made a point to have a Republican up on the stage who was had concerns about fracking. And the last thing I'll bring up is one of the things I was mentioning. I was listing all those legislators and PhDs. Half of them, Bernie Ehlers and Mike Portner, are Republicans. So we really have seen a bipartisan response to this for the most part.
It was a really interesting room. There were obviously folks that were very interested in environmental justice, and I would guess might be a little bit left of center. And then there were folks that were, you know, very obviously right of center. I think that we had a mixture in the room of people from different political stripes. And we had a lot of communication. I tried to show that in the pictures. There was a lot of audience participation. And so I think that it accomplished the goals, or at least some of them. And it also challenged us to what the next set of goals needs to be, which I think needs, again, I'm more and more convinced that partnering scientists with engineers and policymakers who have successfully implemented a policy in their own jurisdictions, I think that, you know, that's where I would sort of advocate we go next time. and try to do that. And I think, you know, bringing engineers in, you know, scientists don't fix anything. You know, scientists just investigate. Engineers are the people that take that information and actually engineer solutions. Very, you know, so I love, my husband's an engineer, so I'm a little bit partial, but I think the opportunity to work closely with engineers and legislators who have put things into practice, I think is where I would advocate that we take this next. I'm going to turn it over to Dr. Heather Reddick from the Texas Commission on Environmental Quality.